Would you trade 20 years of your life for what's sitting in your bank account right now? 9 months ago, I watched a friend, despite my advice, inherit $600,000 from his mom's estate. 6 months later, all of it was gone, not because he lost it in the market, not because someone else stole it, but because he spent it. He upgraded his house, he bought a luxury car, took his family to Disney twice, and now he's back where he started, except this time, he's carrying the weight of knowing he wasted 2 decades of his mom's hard work and sacrifice. The average inheritance is gone within 18 to 36 months. Why? We treat windfalls differently than money we earn ourselves. Today, I'm walking you through my proprietary heirs framework that protects inherited wealth and multiplies it so you never have to look back with regret. Here's something that's going to challenge how you think about money. When someone leaves you an inheritance, they're not giving you cash. They're giving you something far more valuable. And if you miss this one insight, you'll blow through it all and have a ton of regret. I'm going to share a story about two brothers, each inherited $400,000 from their parents. But 5 years later, one brother had $750,000 and the other brother had $12,000 in credit card debt. The difference wasn't luck. It wasn't the market. It was one simple framework, and that's exactly what I'm going to give you today. But before we get there, you need to understand the invisible trap that catches almost everyone who inherits money off guard. It's subtle, it's psychological, and it's already working against you. But before we get into it, this is Brian. I've been a financial advisor for over 25 years. I'm also a certified life and health coach and author of the book, Momentous Decisions. In this episode, you're going to learn 3 wealth decision principles to help you become smarter with money and walk away with an action plan to make better wealth decisions starting today. So let me paint you a picture you might recognize. You've just lost someone you love, a parent, a grandparent, maybe an aunt who always remembered your birthday. The grief is real. The loss is heavy. And then a few weeks later, you get the call from the estate planning attorney. You're inheriting money. Maybe it's $50,000, maybe it's $500,000, maybe even more. And suddenly mixed with grief is this strange feeling. Maybe you're a little bit of relief, maybe guilt, maybe excitement. You're not sure you're allowed to feel anything positive because someone had to die for this to happen. So what do most people do? They rationalize. They say something like, "Mom would want me to enjoy this. Dad always said life's too short. They worked hard so I wouldn't have to stress out about money." And you know what? All of that might be true, but here's the trap. Inherited money doesn't feel real. It feels kind of like monopoly money, like a windfall, like something that appeared out of nowhere. So spending it doesn't carry the same weight as spending money you actually earned on your own. Psychologists call this mental accounting. We put different types of money in different mental buckets, and we treat each bucket differently. The money you earn from your paycheck, that's the work hard for it bucket. You guard it carefully, but the tax refund, the birthday cash, the inheritance or windfall, that goes in the bonus money bucket, and that bucket has holes in it. The moment you understand this psychological trap, everything changes, because once you see inherited money for what it actually is, you'll never treat it the same way again. So I built a framework specifically for inheritance investing. It's called the heirs method, because whether you realize it or not, someone made you an heir for a reason. There's 5 steps that transform how you handle inherited wealth. The H is honor the time investment. The E is envision the long-term impact. The I is investigate your risk capacity. The R is redirect for strategic growth. And the S is sustain through discipline. So let me walk you through each one. And by the time we're done, you'll have a completely different relationship with any money you inherit. So the H, honor the time investment. And this is where that earlier question comes back. Would you trade 20 years of your life for what's in your bank account? Here's the exercise I do with every client who inherits money. It's simple, but it's super powerful. Take out your phone right now, and I'm going to wait for you. Open your calculator app. Let's say you inherited $500,000. Now ask yourself, how much could I realistically save each month? For most people, $2,000 per month is aggressive, but possible. Some can do more, many can do less, but let's use $2,000 as our example. $2,000 per month times 12 equals $24,000 per year. To accumulate $500,000 at that rate, it would take just under 21 years. That's 21 years of saying no to impulses, 21 years of skipping the fancy dinners, 21 years of driving the older car, and 21 years of disciplined sacrifice and delayed gratification. Now, here's the million-dollar question, and I mean that literally. You spent 21 years grinding to save $500,000. Would you go blow it on a boat? Would you remodel the kitchen? Would you take three vacations in 1 year? You probably wouldn't, because you'd feel those 21 years in every dollar. Stick with me, because in just a few minutes, I'm going to show you exactly how to visualize what that inheritance could become if you make the right moves. The number might shock you. So reply to my pinned comment right now and tell me, how long would it take you to save that amount you inherited or expect to inherit? I want to see the real numbers. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number one. Your inheritance is someone else's life compressed into one check. Every dollar represents an hour they worked, a pleasure they postponed, a dream they delayed. When you honor the time investment, spending that money recklessly becomes nearly impossible. So let's keep going. The E in the ARIS framework is envision the long-term impact. This is where most people fail. They look at inherited money as a one-time event. They see $300,000 and think, this is what I have. But that's not what you have. That's just what you have today. Let me introduce you to one of the most powerful concepts in wealth building, the rule of 72. It's really simple, but it will change how you see every dollar. Here's how it works. You take the number 72 and divide that by your expected rate of return. That tells you how many years it takes for your money to double. Let's use a conservative 7% annual return, which is totally achievable with a balanced investment portfolio. So 72 divided by 7 equals 10 years. That means your money doubles every decade. So watch this. If you're 40 years old and you inherit $400,000 and you leave it invested until you're 60, here's what happens. At age 50, 10 years later, it's $800,000. At age 60, 20 years later, it's $1.6 million. You didn't add a single dollar. You just let time and compound growth do its thing. But here's where it gets really interesting. Let's say you lived at 80. That same $400,000 inheritance at age 40 becomes $3.2 million at age 70 and $6.4 million at age 80. From $400,000 to $6.4 million. No additional contributions, just patience and smart investing. But here's the reality. Some of you are saying, well, I want to enjoy some of this money. My parents would want me to enjoy it. So coming up in just a moment, I'm going to reveal how you can actually enjoy some of that money right now while still growing your wealth. It's not magic, it's strategy. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number two. The question isn't what your inheritance is worth, it's what it could become. Most people see $300,000 and ask, what can I buy? The wealthy see $300,000 and ask, what will this become in 20 years? That single shift in perspective is the difference between staying in middle class and building generational wealth. So the I in the ARIS framework is investigate your risk capacity. Now, what does that mean? This is where things get personal, because your risk capacity is not the same as your neighbor's, your friends, or even your spouse's. You know, a traditional financial advisor might just ask you, are you conservative or are you aggressive? That's like asking, do you prefer hot or cold? It's kind of meaningless without some type of context. At my firm, we use something called a risk number, a score from 1 to 99 that measures your downside tolerance, not how much you want to make, but how much you can lose without panic selling at the worst possible time. And for everyone listening today, you get access to my risk number financial assessment. The link will be in the description of this podcast. For instance, someone with a risk number of 25 might be comfortable with a maximum 8% drop in their portfolio. But for someone with a risk number of 75, they might be able to handle a 30% drop without flinching. Neither is right or wrong, they're just different. So let me tell you about those two brothers I mentioned earlier. Same $400,000 inheritance, Brother A had a risk number of 60, B had a risk number of 30. Brother A invested 70% in a diversified stock index, 25% in bonds, and kept 5% liquid. Brother B went 90% in the growth stocks because his buddy told him about a can't-miss tech opportunity. When the market corrected 20%, Brother A stayed the course because his portfolio was aligned with his actual risk tolerance. He was down, sure, but within his comfort zone. Brother B, he panicked, sold everything at the bottom, and locked in massive losses, then spent what was left trying to feel better about his decision. Quick question for you. Let me know in the comments. On a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable are you with seeing your investments drop 20% temporarily? Be honest, there's no wrong answer, but knowing this number about yourself is critical. So let's move on to the R in the AIRS framework, and that's redirect for strategic growth. And this is where we get kind of tactical with your actual allocation. Most people think investing in inheritance is all or nothing. Either you lock it away and never touch it, or you spend it. Both extremes are wrong. Here's the smart play. You redirect your inheritance into three buckets: growth, stability, and access. Let me show you what I mean. Using a $500,000 inheritance as an example. Bucket number one is growth. Put 60% or $300,000 into a growth portfolio. This is money you won't touch for 10 plus years. Put 70% of it in a diversified stock index fund tracking the total market. Put 20% in an international stock fund or ETF for global exposure. And then put 5 to 10% into some real estate investment trust. This bucket is designed to double every 10 years using the rule of 72, which we talked about earlier. Then bucket number two is your stability bucket. Put 30% of your inheritance, or $150,000 in this example, into fixed income index funds. This is your shock absorber. Total bond ETFs, high-grade corporate bond ETFs. This bucket's going to grow slower, but protects you when stocks drop. It also generates income. Bucket number three is your access bucket. Put 10% or $50,000 in this access bucket. This is your emergency fund and opportunity fund. It sits in high-yield savings accounts and money market funds. This money is there if life happens. Your car breaks down, a medical emergency, or a time-sensitive opportunity. Now, here's the part that really excites people. You can actually enjoy your inheritance today without destroying your wealth opportunities tomorrow. For every $250,000 you invest in a balanced portfolio, you can typically draw about $1,000 per month in dividends and distributions while still growing the principal over time. That means with a $500,000 inheritance, you could take roughly $2,000 per month or $24,000 per year and still have your money working for you in the background. Want to take that extra vacation? Use some dividend income. Want to pay down your mortgage faster? Use some dividend income. Want to help your kids with college? Use the dividends without spending the principal. You're not spending your inheritance. You're spending what your inheritance produces. That's a massive difference. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to give you the final step, the one that determines whether your strategy actually works long term. And this is where most people fail. So stay with me. So the S in the AIRS framework is sustain through discipline. And this is the hardest part because it requires you saying no when everything in you wants to say yes. So let me tell you what happens to most people. They start strong. They invest the inheritance wisely. They feel good about their decision. And then life happens. The car needs repair, but actually, you know what? You deserve a new car. That $800 repair turns into a $45,000 purchase. And you justify it by dipping into the inheritance just this once. Your friend invites you on a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Bali. It's $8,000, but you have all this money sitting there, and you've been so responsible. And you deserve to live a little, right? Your daughter needs braces, which is a legitimate expense. But then she also wants to join a travel soccer team for $3,000, and you think, what's the point of having this money if I can't give my kids opportunities? My parents would want that. Each decision feels kind of reasonable in isolation, but here's what happens. You make one exception and then another and then another. And before you know it, you're using the inheritance as an extended emergency fund for every semi-emergency that comes up. So this leads me to wealth decision principle number three. Discipline isn't about saying no to what you want. It's about saying yes to what you want most. You want the new car. You also want financial independence at 55. You can't have both. You want the Bali trip, but you also want to leave a legacy for your kids. You can't have both. Discipline is choosing the bigger yes over the smaller yes. Here's how you sustain through discipline practically. Rule number one is automate everything. Don't trust your future self. Set up automatic transfers from your inheritance account into your investment accounts. Make it happen without you having to think about it. Rule number two is create a one-year waiting period. Any purchase over $5,000 that's not a true emergency has to wait 1 year. Write it down, date it, and revisit it in 12 months. You'll be shocked how many things you don't care about a year later. Rule number three, use the 10% rule. If you absolutely must spend some inheritance money on something that brings you joy, limit it to 10% of the total. Inherited $300,000, you can spend up to $30,000 on something meaningful, a trip, a home upgrade, or whatever. But the other $270,000 is off limits. So let's go back to the two brothers. Let me tell you how their stories ended. Brother A, the one who used the heirs method, invested $380,000 of his $400,000 inheritance. He used $20,000 to take his family on a meaningful trip to Ireland where his father was born. It was intentional, it was memorable, and it honored his dad's life. 5 years later, his $380,000 has grown to $540,000, even after taking out about $1,200 per month in dividend income that he used to pay down his mortgage. He's on track to retire at 58 instead of 67. He sleeps well at night. His kids are watching him model smart financial decisions. Brother B, he ignored everything I'm teaching you today. He bought a $65,000 truck. He upgraded his kitchen for $40,000, took four expensive vacations in 2 years, and invested the rest in individual stocks his buddy recommended. When those stocks tanked, he sold at a loss and spent what remained trying to recoup it through day trading. This is a common mistake I see when people lose money in the stock market. They take bigger and bigger bets to try to make things up. 5 years later, he has $12,000 in credit card debt, a truck he can't really afford to maintain, and kind of a little bit of regret that keeps him up at night. He told me recently, "I feel like I failed my dad." The difference between these brothers wasn't intelligence. It wasn't luck. It was having a framework and the discipline to stick with it. So here's your action plan, exactly what to do this week if you inherited money or you expect to inherit money soon. Step number one is calculate your time exchange. Do this today. Take your inheritance amount and divide by what you can save monthly. Write down the number of years. Let that number sink in. Step number two, run your rule of 72 projection. Do this today. Take your inheritance amount, determine the years until retirement. Calculate how many doublings you get at 7%. Write down your projected future value. Step three, get your risk number. Find a fiduciary advisor who uses objective risk assessment. Take a proper risk tolerance questionnaire. Know your downside capacity before investing any dollar. If you'd like access to my risk number system, there'll be a link in the description of this episode. Step number four is build your three bucket allocation. 60% growth bucket, 30% stability bucket, and 10% access bucket. Adjust percentages based upon your risk number. And step number five is automate your investment strategy. Set up automatic monthly investments, enable dividend reinvestment, or take your dividends in cash to use for vacations or things you want to do around the house. Remove temptation by making it automatic. And step six, create your discipline system. Implement the one-year waiting period for big purchases. Set up monthly reviews, not daily. And if you want a free inheritance investing worksheet that walks you through every step of the heirs method, I put the link in the show notes. Download it, print it, and use it. And if you got any value out of today's episode, please subscribe to my channel. I'm new to YouTube and trying to grow and reach more people, so people can make better wealth decisions so that they can live a richer life. Also, if you could, share this with someone who needs to hear it. Maybe you have a friend that inherited money. Maybe you know somebody that inherited money. The heirs framework is not just about inheritance. It can be about any type of windfall you get. Maybe you get a big bonus or you get a tax refund. This type of framework allows you to look at any type of windfall a little bit differently and make the smarter wealth decision for your future. Also, if you could, reply to my pinned comment where I ask, what's your biggest fear about inheriting money? And if you've already inherited money, what do you wish you would have known beforehand? I read every comment and I'll respond to as many as I can. Your story might help someone else avoid a painful mistake. Listen, most people will nod along with this episode, feel inspired for a day or two, and then slip back into old patterns. Don't be most people. You have an opportunity that many never get, a chance to honor someone's life work by building something that lasts. I really appreciate you listening to today's episode. Honor the inheritance you've been given. Make decisions your loved ones would be proud of. And once again, this is Brian, the Wealth Decisions Guy. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.